nothing that's grim,
nothing that's Greek.
She plays Medea later this week.
Stunning surprises, cunning disguises, hundreds of actors out of sight.
Pantaloons and tunics,
courtesans and eunuchs,
heroes and chases,
their tones and basses.
Good morning, everybody. It's Saturday, February 10th, and you're listening to Backstage here on WZBG. I'm Eric, your host. As always, it's a fabulous morning to be together with you, talking about theater, especially local theater, which is what we're talking about here this morning. This morning, I'm focused on the Landmark Community Theater production of Escape to Margaritaville, which I think is like area debut. I don't know of any other companies that have done it since it's become available. So it's kind of a newer production that's making its way, or going to be making its way here. So we have that to talk about this morning. So if you're a Jimmy Buffett fan, I think the term is parrot head, then this is a great show for you. And I'm joined this morning by two fabulous ladies of the local theater scene, director Kate Kovacs and music director Becky Wallace. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Eric.
Great to have you both here. Becky, it's your first time here. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
And we go back a little ways. We were just talking before the show got going that we go back as far as Bessel Whorehouse in Texas, which was 2016.
Yes.
You were in the pit for that, the rehearsal pianist, and we've done a bunch of shows together, and now you're music directing, which I think is wonderful.
Thank you.
You know, speaking as a performer that's worked with you, you're very patient. You make things accessible and understandable, and you just keep things light and fun. So,
thank you. That's great to hear you say that.
Of course.
That's my whole purpose.
Yeah, and I imagine the cast must be just thrilled because they get to work with somebody of your caliber. So hats off to you for that. And then, Kate, you know, you and I, we all go back to that same production way back when.
That's true.
Once upon a time. And you've been directing a lot in the area recently. You just did Spelling Bee over at TheaterWorks New Milford.
Correct.
And now you're here directing Escape to Margaritaville. So it's like old folks home day here at the backstage at WZBG. But talking about a newer production, an exciting new production of Escape to Margaritaville. It's opening on March 2nd and running all the way through March 17th. They have shows Fridays and Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 2, and you can go to landmarkcommunitytheater.org for tickets and information. And there is a little note here on the website that there are some adult themes, some adult elements, so this might not be the one to take the little kids to, but yeah, it might be a nice date night kind of a show or something like that. So, but enough from me. I'm rambling. Let's get into the show itself. So, Kate, you're the director. Can you tell us a little bit about what's the story here of Escape to Margaritaville?
Well, this is a traditional jukebox musical, which mm-hmm. means it's going to feature a lot of songs you recognize, Jimmy Buffett music.
Oh, yes.
And a silly story to tie all those songs together. You know, no writer of music is thinking about, I'm going to write all my music for the next 20 years to be effective for a musical someday. So it does provide the challenge of, well, how do we tie these songs together? So mm-hmm. the story writers have come up with a cute story of that Jimmy Buffett type character, someone who is a performer mm-hmm. In a resort, the Margaritaville Resort.
Ooh.
And it's on an island. Situated with a volcano, so you're getting that tropical feeling here.
Oh boy.
And every resort needs its resort guests, so two of the guests show up. They are best friends from Cincinnati, and these two women are celebrating one's engagement.
Oh.
And so this is a last hurrah before the wedding. And these two ladies become the love interest of both the performer named mm-hmm. Tully and his best friend, a bartender named Brick.
Oh.
And so you get to see a little bit of a love story come together. Lots of opportunity for funny moments.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big to-do with that volcano, so don't forget about the volcano. And then you just get to follow this love interest from the start to finish with a lot of that fun tropical vacation feel.
Oh, there you go. I feel like volcanoes are becoming kind of a running theme in the area lately because the Warner just did SpongeBob over the summer, and that had a volcano problem. How many musicals are out there that have volcanoes?
Well, now
at least
need to
two.
Know. We need to figure it out.
There's at least two, so that might be the trivia question for the day. I don't know.
Island?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, probably, yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I've never seen that one. Becky, I want to talk to you about the music aspect of this, obviously, since you're the music director. But before we get into that, you're a phenomenal piano player. Just
Thank
absolutely
you.
Phenomenal. So how did you get into that? And the, how did that, I don't know if that brought you into the theater world or if there was a, tell us how you got to where you are, basically.
Well, if I can remember far back enough. I started actually on stage. I was a performer in high school, and I was in a lot of productions, and I went to school for music theater, and I started as a music theater major.
Wow.
And did a bunch of shows in Virginia at Shenandoah Conservatory, and then decided that after I saw all these people coming to me for my piano skills, that maybe I had a better career in that, and switched my major to music ed.
Oh.
Went off to be a teacher in Madison, Connecticut at Daniel Hann High for the choirs, and decided I loved teaching, but the performer was still in there, so I left for Nashville, Tennessee, and wrote an album of songs and performed around Nashville for a year or so, and then wasn't making enough money to survive and came back and got back into my piano playing because it seems to be the thing that people come to me for the most. And I never thought I was that great at it, but the more opportunity I've had, the more I've been able to hone my skill, and now it's become just part of who I am, and being able to share that with people who love to perform. I, being a performer myself, there's, it's just a full circle for me to be back in community theater in this area because I grew up here, so.
Wow.
It's like a dream come true.
I had no idea. I'm gobsmacked.
Well, they don't put this in their little bio in
no.
the playbill that has four sentences.
Yeah, it's, oh, happy to be doing the show, and these are some of the other things I've done, and an album of songs in Nashville. Get out of here. Holy
it's
moly.
A long time ago, but.
So what?
Let's just see. There's that performer inside of me that it just needs to come out. And if I'm not the one on stage, I love, I think more than anything, to be the one supporting those on stage. So
when are we going to get you back on stage? Mm-hmm. I think that's the next question here. Forget Margaritaville for just a second.
Maybe someday. Getting closer.
Okay.
Is there something you'd like to do? Is there something that you're like,
waitress,
someday?
But I'm too old now.
No.
Dear Evan Hansen. There's a few that have older women in them that, yeah.
Older schmolder. No. Pshaw. But are you hearing this, theaters out there? All right, we have a vast untapped potential here. So start planning your next season and start thinking about, all right, ways to put Becky Wallace on stage. I want to see it happen. All right, let's, now that I'm over my initial shock of all this. This is like breaking news here on WZBG, in the theater world anyway. But let's get back to Escape to Margaritaville. So as a jukebox musical, what's that like for you as a music director working with material that is fairly well known and is really closely associated with one particular performer, one particular voice?
So I find it really, really fun because we had a few people come out to audition just purely because they love Jimmy Buffett and had never even been on stage before. So when you get those people that are full of enthusiasm and love for the music, it's really hard to get everyone else engaged. We have a great lead. Nick Comans is fantastic. He plays the guitar. He's got the Jimmy Buffett swagger. And I love jukebox musicals. I just did Beautiful a few months ago at Landmark about Carole King, and I love these musicals because you get to take a familiar artist but combine it with the person that's taking on their role, so you get to take them and guide them to a place where they can meet Jimmy Buffett rather than Nick being Jimmy Buffett.
Sure.
And to come to that place is really, really fun for me to pull that out of people. Same with Erica Blasco in Beautiful. She, we worked together to get her to a point where it was not Erica pretending to be Carole. It was Erica meets Carole, and it's a really neat dynamic. And then when the cast starts to see that come together, they all just kind of fall in place. And the music is just easy to learn, fun. I mean, not all of it. There are some choral moments that are tricky, but they're doing a great job. So it's fun. You get a little bit of everything.
There you go. Did you want to chime in, Kate?
Well, I think one of the challenges you can see with a jukebox musical is you are expecting the music you recognize mm-hmm. to be exactly mm-hmm. as you remember it to be. Mm-hmm. And very often the orchestration of it is different.
Oh, yes.
And so you're not just singing the melody. They're throwing in extra harmonies and a bit of a change here and there, not to create any concern for what you're expecting to hear as an audience member,
right.
but it does change how you learn it.
Yeah,
it's sometimes it's refreshing. I remember, what's American Idiot? I remember that album came out and it was huge, and you heard all the songs and whatever. Then when the Broadway show came out, their version of 21 Guns with bringing in the female voices and the harmonies and the and whatnot, I thought elevated the material. So yeah, you kind of expect to hear Jimmy Buffett with his guitar and Wasted Away Again in Margaritaville and everything like that. But it can also be a different and sometimes superior experience when other folks have had a chance to adjust a little bit and tweak and whatnot. Jimmy Buffett's got that sort of like, I don't want to say island rock, but he's got that sort of laid-back vibe and whatnot. So how does the orchestra compare to what we would expect maybe with a Jimmy Buffett show or song?
So our orchestra features a large amount of percussion instruments, which lend to the Calypso island vibe.
Yeah.
We have our regular drum set, and then we have two additional. And some of the instruments we have added are congas, steel drum, marimba, washboard, belltree, wind chimes, you know, that kind of thing.
Jeez.
So it's going to really give you the feeling that you're there on the island. I believe Jimmy Buffett has a similar setup, so we're trying to create as close to as possible what we can to recreate it. Ukuleles, banjos, harmonicas, all kinds of stuff. Yeah, it's really fun.
So it'll almost be like, and this is, I think, a great show for March then, because March is usually the dead of winter here in Connecticut.
Yes. Who doesn't want a vacation?
Yeah, and you don't have to go anywhere to get that sort of, I've escaped to a Margaritaville, to a nice tropical area. And it's going to be a warm space. I mean, the Opera House is always a very comfortable,
toasty
location, especially when you get all those bodies in there to see the shows. So I'm talking this morning with director Kate Kovacs and music director Becky Wallace all about Escape to Margaritaville, coming to the Thomaston Opera House, thanks to our friends at Landmark Community Theater. It's going to be running March 2nd through March 17th. Check out landmarkcommunitytheater.org for information and for tickets. And we've got the original Broadway cast album with us here this morning, and I asked the two of you to identify some songs that might be apropos of previewing the show for our audience here. And the first one you picked is Son of a Son of a Sailor, which sounds like I got stuck in a loop there for a second, but no, that's the title, Son of a Son of a Sailor. What can we say about this song? What do the listeners need to know?
So this is one of his more laid-back songs where you can really hear, you know, the tone of his voice. It's relaxing. It's one of my favorites because it really features Nick's talent as a singer. It kind of just has a very relaxed vibe, and it's one of my favorites. I look forward to it whenever we are rehearsing.
Well, there you go. So here from the original Broadway cast, we have Paul Alexander Nolan and Allison Luff with Son of a Son of a Sailor.
As the son of a sailor, I went out on the sea for adventure, expanding the view of the captain and crew like a man just released from indenture. As a dreamer of dreams and a traveling man, I have chalked up many miles, read dozens of books about heroes and crooks, and I learned much from both of their styles. Son of a son, son of a son, son of a son of a sailor, son of a gun, load the last
seas in my veins, my tradition remains.
I'm just glad you don't live in a trailer.
Who said I don't live in a trailer? It's a nice one. It's got a shag carpet and a toaster.
Stop
on it.
Talking.
That was Son of a Sailor from the original Broadway cast recording of Escape to Margaritaville here on Backstage on WZBG. And I'm joined this morning by music director Becky Wallace and director Kate Kovacs from the Landmark Community Theater production of Escape to Margaritaville, opening on March 2nd, running through the 17th. And again, check out landmarkcommunitytheater.org for tickets and information. And let's talk a little bit. I like to talk about the casting process because I know that... You know, when I was directing at the high school where I teach, it was always that, like, who are we going to get? Can we make this work? And then as a performer now in my personal life, it's the most anxiety-inducing, abjectly terrifying part of the whole process. I would rather run, you know, two-a-day rehearsals for a month and a half than have to audition one time. So what was the casting process like? Did you get a big turnout? Were you looking for particular types? Were you...
Well, we're scared, too, on our end when we're auditioning, just so you know. Uh-huh. Hopefully that puts some of you auditioners at ease. I think ever since COVID, I'm seeing not as many folks come out to audition, so please do come on out, because it does put that little bit of note of, ooh, are we going to get all the... folks we need. We did get all the folks we needed, which is wonderful. And we have a really talented cast, starting off with Nick Commons as playing that Jimmy Buffett type character named Tully. And his love interest, played by Danny Kaye, the character is Rachel, who is a scientist trying to discover a new fuel alternative. Yeah, very...
jukebox musical plot.
Yeah, very interesting character description there. And her best friend, Tammy, played by Jen Lohman,
hilarious.
Who, I have to say coincidentally, and did not notice upon casting, that these two women are best friends.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, great chemistry.
In real life.
Yep.
So that must have been an easy translation.
And you know,
on the stage.
And they auditioned on different days.
Yeah.
And so I think it goes to show how well they auditioned solely, and then I went with them separately, only to discover they're best friends. And boy, did that pop out clearly during rehearsals when the characters are in the same venue.
So do you two think you'd be able to work together? Yeah, probably. You know.
That's exactly the table read. Oh, it's Jen. Oh, yeah. It's Danny. And I'm like, oh. Lucky me.
Did they not tell each other that they got the parts?
I mean, I think they must have, but it's just, you could, they would just thrill to see each other via video even. You know, it's just fun. Fun to see that. And then playing the love interest for Tammy is a character named Brick, played by Robert Santoli.
So funny.
And so that's kind of our four main leads there, and each is super great. They've been delightful to work with, and they're really adapting this whole tropical vacation vibe. So I think it's making the process way more, maybe not more fun, but just very different. Maybe less stressful, I hope. Well,
yes.
We'll see. Rounding out the resort leads here, you have the woman who runs the resort, played by Christine Mitchell Robinson, the character named
incredible.
Marley.
Christine, friend of the show. Love her. Absolutely love her.
Great. She's been delightful. So such a ray of sunshine, the bubbly personality, and it does lend very well for the character who has to be bubbly and welcoming to all of her resort guests, but maybe you see a couple moments of stress and
oh, yeah.
It's really adorable.
She may steal the show.
Yes, she might. Or her partner in crime,
yes.
a character named J.D. He's this a staple of the resort, maybe? Maybe someone who was a resort guest and never left?
The norm of Cheers for
you got it. Norm of Cheers is right. And that is played by Lou Champagne Gurton.
Yes.
And then two additional characters who are the workers staffed of the resort, playing the character Jamal is Jane and Greeklaw, and then the waitress who's working so darn hard there and trying to keep all these guests under control, Allie Elbridge playing the character of Wanda. It's a really cool disposition to see between the resort guests and then the folks that are working the resort. You should see a little bit of a contention there. It's cute.
Okay. And then you've got, if I remember, I saw on Facebook, Landmark posted like the headshots and whatnot. You got a good-sized ensemble there, too.
I really do. And they're all talented. You've got some tappers in there. There's that quintessential tap number you might see in the show.
Because that's the first thing I think of with Jimmy Buffett is tap
number. You know, maybe it isn't, but boy, does it. It just sneaks right in there.
Wakes you up in the second half.
So don't leave and stay for that second half.
Yeah.
Very talented ensemble, great bit character work, and they're changing 3, 4, 5, 6 times throughout the show. You know,
oh, yeah.
So if you're ever thinking about going out for a show and maybe you want to get the best of both worlds, it's the ensemble.
Yeah.
You get to do multitudes of characters. Yes, you're doing the work of changing costuming and learning lots of stuff, things, but it's so much more fun, I think, sometimes than the heavy lead role.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. And they're also engaged and having fun, so that helps, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, the ensemble stuff is just, you know, if you want to stay busy, that's where you go.
Yep.
You know, I'm thinking of from Les Mis, what's her name? Fontaine.
Right.
She's in the first, like, 20, 25 minutes of the show, and then she's basically gone until the last 10.
Yeah.
And it's a three-hour show, so she's got more than 2 hours of downtime.
That's my kind of part.
There are some advantages to that, but you know, if you like to be more active, ensemble's a great place. And you've got another friend of the show, Tyler Bard, is in your ensemble, who is just a heck of a guy. Shout out to Tyler Bard.
Yes, Tyler.
He and I go way back to his high school days when I was an instructor and he was a student, which tells you how old I am. He's carved out a little niche for himself here in the area with the theater work he's done. And you maybe saw him at Landmark in the role of Don in Kinky Boots, which was phenomenal. He was one of the thug brothers in Newsies over at the Warner.
Yes, that's right.
So he's been around a lot. And from what I saw on Facebook, it seems like you've got a nice mix of some newer faces and some returning faces. I won't say the O word, but some returning faces. Some seasoned.
Yeah, we have some new folks. Teresa Gerton.
Teresa.
I got the impression that maybe not done.
I think this is her
a
first
show before. So this is
again. She loves Jimmy Buffett. So
exactly.
I'm assuming she's related to Lou Champagne Gerton.
We think so.
Yes. She is married to his son, and so it's sort of a family affair here. It's adorable.
Yeah.
Danielle Cudney and
Rachel
Volpe. Mm-hmm. Definitely new to the theater. Kathy Dayton. I've
our
seen
dance
her.
Captain.
Yeah, our dance captain. I've done other shows with her in different towns, but great to have
here.
A talented captain to kind of lead. There's a lot of dancing in this show.
Yeah.
And who's your choreographer, by the way? We didn't.
We have a really great production team. Choreographer is Matt Guerra. Okay. I've done a couple shows with him. He is the Energizer Bunny.
Yes,
and so talented and clever, and he's seems to be willing to work with my random interjections of can we add more props to this dance number, and so he's probably giggling about that right now. And then assistant music director Michelle Alecky. Again, we have a really great team, and we like working together. We have a good time, and it's, as a director, I've done this, I think I've done 6 shows in the past year and a half, so it's been a lot. I just really enjoy the aspect of friendship with the production team members and reliability that we're sharing the job.
Yeah. So that's what you hope for when you sign up for these things, because sometimes you don't know
what you're going to get. That's right.
So.
Yeah, it's, you know, community theater is a community in every sense of the word. And yes, it's all the people coming together on stage and doing the performance, but it's all the people behind the scenes that are, who's taking over the music, who's looking at staging, and who's doing props, and who's doing costumes, and who's doing the choreography, and how do you split up the time and make it all work, and everybody pulls the cart in the same direction, and you don't have your horses going all over the place. So
yeah. And rounding out our production team, excellent stage managers. We have Morgan Griffin and Tyler Violet. And then costuming, we have Andrea, who works in the office at the Landmark Theater.
Andrea Bingham.
Bingham, yep.
Yeah.
And then Gonzo on our soundboard, and a new fellow joining us for lighting, a young guy, Matt, maybe. See, I told you I'd forget someone's name.
Come see. You'll again, see in the program.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Super, super delightful to work with these group of people.
There you go. Well, it's Escape to Margaritaville. It's coming to the Thomason Opera House in March, thanks to our friends at Landmark Community Theater, running March 2nd through March 17th. You can go to landmarkcommunitytheater.org for tickets and information. And it's 9:30, which means we need to pause for a quick second, and then we will come back with What's the Buzz?
Every single minute matters. It's truly a matter of life and death.
Earthquake in Turkey, 50,000 dead. Flooding in Libya, 40,000 displaced. Cyclones in Malawi, more than 500,000 affected. Conflict in Syria, 1 million dead. Drought in Somalia, 8 million affected. 735 million going hungry every night. Care is there. Visit care.org.
All right, let's talk about what's going on in the theater world, shall we? First up, the performances. Goshen Players have announced their production of Arsenic and Old Lace. That's going to be opening February 24th, running through March 10th. You can visit goshenplayers.org to find out more about that. As we've been talking about here this morning, Landmark Community Theater is putting on Escape to Margaritaville. That's going to run March 2nd through March 17th. You can go to landmarkcommunitytheater.org for information and tickets. Phoenix Stage Company is opening their production of The Farce of Habit next weekend. That's going to run February 16th through February 24th. For tickets and info, go to phoenixstagecompany.org. TheaterWorks New Milford has announced their production of Wait Until Dark. That's going to be opening next month. Go to theaterworks.us for more on that. And the Warner Theater is opening their production of The Irish and How They Got That Way. That's going to be March 2nd through March 17th. For information or tickets, go to warnertheater.org. To auditions to mention, Landmark Community Theater has announced auditions for the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. Those auditions will be taking place at the Thomason Opera House February 18th and 19th from 6 to 9 p.m. No appointment necessary, but you can check out landmarkcommunitytheater.org for more information. And TheaterWorks New Milford announced auditions for their production of Wait Until Dark. Those are going to be February 11th and 12th, tomorrow and Monday. February 11th from 2 to 4 p.m. means you get home in time for the big game. And February 12th from 6:30 to 9 p.m. over at the TheaterWorks New Milford facility there. Go to theaterworks.us for more on that. And that's the buzz for this morning here on Backstage. We're going to pause for a quick word from a sponsor, and then we will be back with more about Escape to Margaritaville.
Goshen Players presents Arsenic and Old Lace, the funniest show in town.
I'm Abby.
And I'm Martha.
We play the Brewster Sisters.
We give comfort to lonely old men.
Every family has its secrets, and the eccentric Brewster family is no exception.
I'm Mortimer Brewster, and I've discovered that my sweet old aunts have a new hobby, and it gives having skeletons in your closet a whole new meaning.
Chaos ensues as Mortimer tries to keep his aunts out of trouble and deal with his crazy relatives. With witty dialogue and unforgettable characters, Arsenic and Old Lace will have you on the edge of your seat.
Goshen Players presents Arsenic and Old Lace live on stage, 3 weekends, February 24th through March 10th.
All tickets are $25 and can be reserved at goshenplayers.org.
Arsenic and Old Lace is a madcap comedy about the only thing more deadly than poison, family.
There's cabaret seating at all performances. Tickets are going fast, so be sure to reserve yours today at goshenplayers.org. That's goshenplayers.org.
Elderberry wine, anyone?
All right, we're back here on Backstage talking about Escape to Margaritaville at Landmark Community Theater at the Thomaston Opera House. And I'm joined by music director Becky Wallace and director Kate Kovacs from the production. Let's talk about production design for a second, because I'm always interested in that part. This is set on an island. It's at a resort. That gives off a particular set of images in people's minds. So how are you trying to meet that kind of expect? I mean, are you trucking in a bunch of sand to put on the stage? Because I don't know that...
I did bring that up, and it was staunchly told no.
Oh, no fun over at Landmark, I guess, huh?
No. So, I probably said this before in past interviews, designing this set is the first thing I do when I'm directing. I really like to get a sense of what I think the vision will be, and that helps me confirm all my blocking notes, if I can give that vision to the rest of the production team, it helps them determine, you know, oh, I can fit a band on stage, oh, I can do all this special dancing and choreography, so it plays a big part in the show. It's its own character. And so we do have a challenge of building a resort, and along with that comes significant scene changes from not to the resort to Cincinnati, Ohio, to the top of a volcano, to an airport, and all kinds of travels. And so I have to come up with what the look will be, the static set, and then consider how I can make it believable for the audience that we're also someplace else.
Sure.
And so really the main goal, I think, with the set design is when you walk into that theater, I want you to feel like you're walking into the Margaritaville Resort. Any of the Margaritaville restaurants around you know, the United States and other across the countries is the epitome of what we're going for.
Okay. And I'm glad you brought up the idea of once you've figured out static set piece, you can locate your orchestra, because I've seen shows at the Opera House, I've seen shows where the orchestra's in front of the stage, because there's no real orchestra pit. I've seen shows where they are kind of way upstage. I've seen shows where they've been on an elevated platform on the stage, and I've also seen shows where they're in another location, everything is piped in. It's live music, 100% live, but it's piped in through the sound system, and the monitors that the performers can see are usually the music director, Becky here, conducting, so they can all sync up their timing and whatnot. So Becky, where did you end up, or where will you end up?
So we're on stage, which I'm so excited about. Okay. We're in the very back on a raised platform, and there are about 9 of us all together, the drummer, 2 percussion, 2 guitars, bass, trumpet, woodwinds, me. so we'll all be, which was important for me, for us to be on stage so we can feel like we're part of the experience. And I think it will be exciting for people in the audience to look out and see all the different percussion instruments we have, because there are some unique ones, and it's just really fun to be on stage. The last show I did, Beautiful, we were piped in from the black box down below, which also they're both great for different reasons, but it is definitely more fun to be up on stage, and we'll all be in our Hawaiian shirts and our flip-flops and our capris.
The most comfortable costume you could wear for a pit.
Right. So it's going to be a party.
I love seeing the orchestra on stage. I'm a saxophone player. I'm not going
to
call myself a musician because I'm a saxophone player.
Let me put you in my car.
In college, I played a couple of shows and fine, whatever.
Nice.
But I've always had that attachment to the music part of it as well. And, you know, when you have an orchestra pit, it's functional and whatever. But I feel like a lot of the audience never really gets a chance to appreciate what the musicians are really doing. And there's been a couple of Broadway shows that I've seen where the orchestra was on stage, which was always amazing. And you were able to better, you know, if you see them, you kind of have to acknowledge them, and you get that chance to really appreciate what they do. So shout out to, or word to the wise to our audience out there, take some time to acknowledge the musicians too, because the singers can only do so much without accompaniment.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Of course. You know, it bugs me when people are booking out of there before the end music is finished. You know, stay a second and applaud. They work hard too, and it's not easy to do what they do, even if they have the music in front of them the whole time.
Yes,
cheaters.
We do. couldn't do it without it.
You never know. You play something long enough.
That's
know.
That's true. Maybe after like a few weekends.
Community theater, you're getting a 2-3 weekend run. True. But if you're doing it 8 shows a week, eventually I'm sure you just... This is where I play this part.
Yeah.
And so for your orchestra, is it people you've generally worked with before? Have you brought in new faces?
I always have a few I use every time. Mm-hmm. Just been lucky that they've been available to me. But like Michelle Alecky is my flute player, and she mm-hmm. also helps me so much behind the scenes with balancing the pit to make sure we're not too loud, and you know, helping me organize the players. We have Bob Kogut on drums. He plays shows all over the place. I think he's playing Avenue Q right now in Wallingford or somewhere. But he's a different show every weekend. He's great. We have Jaden, Molly's son, yeah. Spagan. I'm going to pronounce his name wrong. Spagenberg. He's an excellent 17, 18-year-old guitar player who's trying to go off to Hart or Berkeley or somewhere. Oh, so wow. I'm very lucky to have him and Merrick Martin on the second guitar.
Merrick, good friend of the show.
Yes. We have a couple other new people, mm-hmm. new trumpet player, a new bass player. She's supposed to be fantastic. You know, I love getting different people in and
sure.
keeping some of the same. I'm lucky to have people.
And that's the other thing that, you know, people tend to think, oh, you know, I'm on stage, I'm acting, singing, whatever, I'm behind the scenes, I'm directing, I'm costume designing. Musicians, if you can play an instrument, there's a yes. need for you in some group
me.
Somewhere. you know, so reach out to some of the theater groups, and they can put you in touch with some of the music directors. And
it's so fun to be know. In the pit. Definitely, it's a great time. So
it's a very different experience from any other part of the show, because you're seeing the show and you're part of the show, and but you don't always feel the same pressure,
right.
I think, that
yeah.
an actor might feel, because it's right in front of you, which is always nice, but B, if you're hidden away and whatnot,
yeah
you don't feel the eyes on you
exactly.
So
you're involved but not right in the spotlight, which
exactly.
is nice.
Exactly. And in some ways you're more important than anything else, because if you don't do what you need to do, ain't nothing else happening. And the music is going to cue this, and
right.
so you just, I'm going to wait, I'm going to
It's
take
really
my
cool
time
for
with this
it all
pause.
To come together, yeah. Mm. We all come together.
I'm talking with music director Becky Wallace and director Kate Kovacs about Escape to Margaritaville coming to the Thomason Opera House, thanks to our friends at Landmark Community Theater, running March 2nd, through March 17th. Get my dates right. There we go. You can check out landmarkcommunitytheater.org for more information or to purchase tickets. And a quick reminder that there are some adult elements here, and you know, might not be great for the littles. You have to do a lot of explaining about, you know, what's that thing they keep drinking, and you know. But anyway, let's see. Let's jump to. Well, this one sounds interesting. One of the songs from the original Broadway cast album you suggested is called Volcano.
Mm-hmm.
There is a volcano in the show. It has some sort of role to play. So what do we need to know about the song Volcano?
So our Jamal, played by Jaden, who is actually, he's only 16 or 17 years old, but you would never know.
Mm-hmm.
He looks much older, and he sings excellently. He leads this song. The volcano is erupting, and he's noticing it, and he's not sure where he's going to go. So he keeps singing, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know where I'm going to go when the volcano blows. And then the whole ensemble follows his lead, and it's fun. It's very fun. It's very rhythmic. It's a lot of...
I'm getting the impression of like an unintentional conga line kind of a thing.
Oh, well... Well,
don't give it away.
Yeah, spoilers.
I'm just speculating. I've never seen Margaritaville. I have no idea.
Yes, you're gonna want. You can't help but tap your toe. Maybe
yeah.
move your little body around with it. It's catchy.
Well, true. Thank you for calling it a little body, because I've been feeling a little bloated lately. But anyway, from the original Broadway cast recording of Escape to Margaritaville, here is Volcano.
Promise.
Someone spoke up in the sky.
The boat is at the docks. This way.
you say to me,
I'm not your girl, but run, you better watch your feet.
I can't find my shoes.
Lava, come down something hot.
Ah, there they are. You better lava me now or lava me not.
Absolutely not.
Let me hear you now.
I don't know.
You're going the wrong way, Mr. Utley. It's this way, honey. The boat is this way.
I don't know.
He don't know.
I don't know.
He don't know, man.
I don't know where I'm gonna go when a volcano blow.
He don't know.
I don't know if you've been listening, but I'm a tad bit uncertain where I want to go when the volcano blows.
Yeah, I heard you mention that a few times. We're just gonna get on that boat and sail somewhere safe.
Okay, but I've got a few ex-girlfriends I'd rather not bump into.
I don't think we have the luxury of being picky.
Okay, but I don't wanna land in no New York City. Don't wanna land in no Mexico. Don't wanna land in no Chernobyl. I don't wanna see my skin aglow.
No, no, no.
Don't wanna land in no Comanche Sky Park or in Nashville, Tennessee. I don't wanna land in no San Juan Airport or the Yukon Territory.
No, no,
don't
no.
want to land in no San Diego. Don't want to land in no Buzzards Bay. Don't want to land in no Mar-a-Lago. I got nothing more to say. I don't know.
He don't know.
I don't know.
He don't know.
All right, and we're back here on Backstage on WZBG. That was Volcano from the original Broadway cast recording of Escape to Margaritaville, and it is seven. I'm okay, really. I've been having a couple of days. Is it 5 o'clock somewhere? Okay, that explains things. But it's 9:46. There we go. Just about 9:47. So I'm throwing this at them without giving them any advance warning. It's time to talk about the weather. So normally the guests read the weather, and it looks like Kate lost the battle. So she gets to tell us what's coming up.
Today, areas of fog early this morning, otherwise becoming partly sunny, mild, and pleasant this afternoon. High, 55 to 60. Tonight, chance for evening showers, then partly cloudy, low, 30s. Sunday, partly sunny, a bit cooler, but still mild for this time of year. High, 45 to 50.
Yeah.
Sunday night, partly cloudy, low, 25 to 35. Monday, increasing clouds, high, 40s. Potential for 6+ inches of snow across most of the area Monday night into Tuesday. Monday night, snow developing, becoming all snow, low 30 to 35. Finally Tuesday, snow tapers off in the afternoon, high 30s. There goes our warm weather streak.
Oh, there you go. And it's currently about 44 degrees at our WZBG studios in Litchfield. And, I mean, it's been a fairly mild winter so far. We do have to acknowledge that. I think the school I work at, we've had one snow day, which, you know, it's nice in the moment, but then you pay for it in June because it's one more day.
But we rehearse on Tuesdays.
Snow tapers.
So I needed but the taper, not snow.
But it tapers off on Tuesday, so, you know, it tapers off
afternoon.
On Tuesday. So if you know, if the plows are on the ball, which they generally are, I must say, we have some great plow crews here in Connecticut.
We do.
You might be able to salvage that one.
All right. Fingers crossed.
We're going to hope for the best, you know? But yeah, my lovely and talented girlfriend, Lynn, loves the snow, which is fabulous for her.
For her.
You know. But, you know, when she wishes for lots and lots of snow, and she does help clear it, but, you know, it's a lot of shoveling and a lot of snow blowing and a lot of less fun moments for me, so...
Yeah, makes sense.
Shout out to her, by the way. Today is our anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
So, yeah, you know, a little self-plug there. At least we have the lovely weekend, and it's been sunny for a stretch, which has been really nice.
Yes, you'd like to see the sun, definitely.
Because the sun disappears far too often. But I know for a fact, and here's a really pro radio segue coming up. I know for a fact it's going to be sunny in the Opera House of Thomaston.
Yes.
When you do Escape to Margaritaville. See, that's
nice segue.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you very much. That I'm a trained professional. because it's this island resort and everybody's having a grand old time. And you should be having a grand old time. You should go to see it. It's running from March 2nd to March 17th. Did I get it right?
Yes.
I did. I've been paying attention. March 2nd to March 17th at the Thomaston Opera House, thanks to our friends at Landmark Community Theater. You can go to landmarkcommunitytheater.org for information or to purchase tickets. And, of course, this morning I have director Kate Kovacs and music director Becky Wallace here with us talking all about the show. What's your favorite part of the show? Favorite number, favorite song, favorite punchline without any of the setup?
So many.
I know. It's like asking parents to pick a favorite child.
Cheeseburger in Paradise is a highlight.
Oh, there
for
you
me.
Go.
Oh, that is
that's
a good
hilarious.
One.
I can't. And I also love Pirate Looks at 40 at the end where they all come together. It's kind of one of those, like, hold yourself, give yourself a big hug moments. I don't know. What about you?
I really like the well-known song, the Margaritaville at 5 o'clock somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
They're very recognizable, but I think the staging and what's happening during the song is interesting and really pushes the story along.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it brings you back. Oh yeah, this is what this is all about.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, hats off to the writers of Escape to Margaritaville, because like you said at the top, Kate, it's not easy to take 30, 40 years of someone's song catalog and cobble together a story that'll weave the numbers in fairly seamlessly, which is why they tend to be a little
cheesy. Burger in Paradise.
They could be silly, but in the best of ways.
Yeah.
This is entertaining.
Right.
You will be entertained.
Definitely, yeah.
You may not leave with a newfound, knowledge about too much,
mm-hmm.
but that's not, every show isn't about that. This
right.
is this is meant to be a little bit of an escape
mm-hmm.
from dreary cold weather and just to get you in that tropical vacation vibe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reminded, last week I had Ed Bassett on with Lori Poole and they were talking mm-hmm. about another show at another theater, and Ed's line was, this show isn't going to make you any smarter, but it will make you lighter.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's a great way of putting it, and leave it to Ed to come up with a good way to say it.
Yeah.
A very wise man.
Yes, I steal it. It's mine now.
So as Kate Kovacs originally
right.
said here on Backstage, it won't make you any smarter, but it'll make you lighter. We need that, though. I mean, there's plenty going on in the world that's not pleasant, and theater can be the escape. To Margaritaville.
That's why we do it.
That's, you know,
yeah.
It can be the thing just to make us happier. And I think, Becky, I think you were talking before the show got going that Tyler Bard, again, friend of the show, you called him, I think, the captain, the unofficial
team
captain.
He's like our team captain, yes. Well, he had a great teacher, I'm realizing now where he gets it from.
I just did a lot of yelling.
His attitude is positive. Well, he yells too, but it's usually positive yelling.
And he's got a good colleague here in Adam, another
Adam
ensemble
too.
Character. Great little bit characters. I just wanted to say, though, a big thank you to Adam. He's like a prop master
Ooh.
In
yes.
his background.
He creates.
So
yeah.
he created several of our key prop items. And I mean, these would have been really challenging to source
sure.
or borrow
sure.
or buy. And so talented and whipping it up. I mean, yes, that must be how he does it.
Yeah.
Me, it would be weeks and weeks mm-hmm. of hard labor to create a treasure chest or a piece of jewelry. Or he has the perfect costume piece, like
mm-hmm.
aviator
yeah,
things.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, he's been delightful to work with. And again, I'm seeing this from all of my cast members. They are in a community theater. We're hoping
mm-hmm.
that not only is the cast willing to give up all this time to a show, but they're also going to lend any other talents they have. Maybe they can paint something. Maybe they can help build something.
Sure.
They've got a costume piece in their closet. And it really makes what community theater all about, this sharing of talents,
mm-hmm.
Really special.
And you never know what talent you might have that may come in handy. You know, like you said, maybe paint something, maybe build something,
yeah,
maybe
volunteer.
Sure. Or connections that you have that end up being useful, or this is the most, and I'm not taking anything away from the professional stuff, but they have pipelines for everything. They have people
right.
that are just ready to go to do whatever. And with community theater,
people do it because they love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just, hey, wouldn't it be cool if, oh, I know how we can do that. And it's fascinating to watch. It's so organic and so interconnected at this level that it warms your heart to see all these people.
Yeah.
Doing all these things just to accomplish one singular goal that's so transient. You know, it's here and then it's gone.
Yeah.
And then it's on to the next.
And it's that connection that makes it so fulfilling, I think.
Yeah, and thank you for letting us mention those things.
Of course.
Things I think an audience would have no idea about and don't necessarily need to, but it's nice to give a shout out to the folks like, hey, they did this.
Sure. Yeah. And I think audiences should know about this thing because what you see, the finished product, it's always, you know, at Landmark, it's always fabulous. At you know, all the other theaters that we feature here on Backstage, it's always fabulous. But there are those behind-the-scenes things that they're appreciated en masse, you know, because it's part of the finished product, but you don't always stop and think about, well, how exactly did that come into being? How did that happen? You know, you just, oh, that was a fun experience. And and so, you know, shout out to everybody at every level that's involved with this. And
we had Kat take our headshots and promo shots.
Yeah,
she's in the show, and she does all the...
And you said connections. Someone has connections at a bar in the town.
Yeah.
I want the bar to be my backdrop for those photos. They lend it out to us. It's full tiki'd up.
Yeah.
Yeah, we really appreciate everybody volunteering something they've got.
Sure.
Makes it happen.
Sure. The Beauty Community Theater. So we're just about out of time, but I do want to say again, thank you so much to director Kate Kovacs and music director Becky Wallace for coming in this morning to talk all about Escape to Margaritaville over at the Thompson Opera House. Special thanks to our friends at Landmark Community Theater. It's running March 2nd through March 17th, Fridays and Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 2. And you can go to landmarkcommunitytheater.org for tickets and info. Just a quick reminder that it does have some adult elements to it. I'm not going to say it's a...
Themes.
Yeah, some themes. You know, it's not a taboo or a you know, lascivious kind of a thing. But, you know, you might not want to answer some of the questions that the little kids end up asking afterwards. So maybe leave the littles at home. Make it a date night. You know, come out, enjoy. I know Landmark does have a license to serve alcohol during shows. You're going to have...
They'll be... margaritas.
There you go.
And some other drinks. So if that's an interest of yours, by all means.
There you go. A little date night, a little adult beverage. Please drink responsibly if you do decide to drink, and enjoy the show. So I think there's only one song we can use as our exit song here. It's got to be the title song. It's got to be Margaritaville, because what else are you going to do?
That's
so
right.
Again, thank you both so much for coming on this morning.
Thank you.
Looking forward to seeing the show break legs to everybody involved. And to my listeners out there, don't forget, check out the show. And tune in next weekend when I'm going to have Goshen here to talk all about Arsenic and Old Lace. In the meantime, here it is, Margaritaville. Have a great week, everybody.
Nibbling on sponge cake, watching the sun bake, all of those tourists covered in oil, strumming my sixth string on my front porch swing. Smell those shrimp, they're beginning to boil.
Shrimp. Need something.
Wasting away again in Margaritaville.
Searching for my lost shaker of song.
Some people claim that there's a walnut to blame, but I know nobody's fault.
I don't know the reason I stay here all season. Nothing to show but this brand new tattoo. But it's a real beauty. Cincinnati cutie. How it got here, I haven't a clue.
You're listening to FM 97.3 WZBG, Litchfield, Torrington. Mm-hmm.